Inverness Caledonian thistle.
You know, go on this website and I'll show you my butt.
I'm very familiar with your talking.
That's true. Hello and welcome. We are back from theballerlifestyle.com. It is the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. I am your host, Brian Beckner. Thank you very much for joining the show. Thank you for being part of our world, doing things a little bit different because co-host of the show, Ed Daly, is still away. And I think it might be one more week. So the last couple weeks, if you've been listening, if you're hashtag Team Current episode, you know that I've had co-hosts on. I brought on the great Travis Rogers to co-host a couple weeks ago. He did a great job. And last week I had the amazing Jason Stewart on, who texted me in the middle of the show to tell me to wrap it up so he could go bang some chick from Tinder. So that happened. So it was I apologize for a little bit of an abbreviated show last week because I didn't know, I knew Jason had a thing. So originally he's like, what's the latest you can record? And so I can do it this time. And then he came back to me. He's like, well, actually, what's the earliest you can record? So I'm like, then I gave him a time and we did it at that time. And then 30 minutes in, he's like, okay, I'm done. Do very much appreciate him coming on the show. I love having him as a guest, as a co-host. I think he does a fantastic job. I just wish that he could maybe do a better job scheduling his slams. Slam your Tinders. I'm nuts. Those of you may recall my On Her code. It's where everyone needs to report to me when they're getting any ass. The On Her code. And this, Jay Stu, go out and get it done. Do your thing. But maybe, don't be so thirsty. Just tell her, hey, I'm doing a very important podcast. Highly downloaded internet radio show. And so maybe just wait an extra half hour. And then I'll be over to provide you a proper servicing, a proper random internet hookup service job. But thanks again to Jason Stewart for coming on the show. Got a lot of feedback. I don't like doing potty talk on the show. I don't like it one bit. I don't want to hear about anybody's routine, schedule. I don't need to know about anybody's, if you did a real special one. I don't know. I don't care. That's not the kind of stuff that interests me. But Jay Stu, when he was on last week, he made a couple comments that resonated with people on Twitter. He made a comment that because we were talking about, he claims to be an avid reader, but then every time I talk to him about books he's read, it's actually he's listened to them on a recording, a book on tape, they used to be called. I don't know what they're called now. Just an audiobook. I do know what they're called. They're called audiobooks. And my man Jason was talking about, hey, he's like, sometimes I like to just, he's like, I'll listen, but then also sometimes I'll read the book. And apparently he's got some app that will read the book to you. And let's be honest, he's doing that 90% of the time. You're not if a book has 400 pages, how many pages do you think he listens to versus reads? I would say he listens to probably 389 of those 400 pages and reads the other 11. But he announced that he'll go read the book he's listening to while he's evacuating himself. And I didn't need to know that. And then he added on to that by saying, yeah, cause I'm in there for 45 minutes, which I don't know if I may have edited it out, but my gag reflex kicked in at that point. because that really disgusted me. And then I go, what's, are you okay? Like, what's wrong with you? Why are you in there that long? And he goes, and then he said, well, you know, when you only go once a week, which is like a double whammy. And I don't know if he was like trying to be funny. It's hard to tell with him. I don't know if he was trying to be funny or interesting, but he was neither. It really, really disturbed me. And a lot of people via Twitter had questions about that. And I'll be honest, I don't have answers. I don't know what's, I don't discuss my bathroom routine with anyone. I mean, I do in general terms. Not gross. I'm not gross. So I wasn't going doing a deep dive on why he only evacuates once a week, if that's actually true. It can't be, because he would die. You would die if you only evacuated one time every 7 days. It's just, you couldn't live like that. No one could live like that. That's insane. So anyway, that got a lot of love. So I appreciate Jason coming on the show. I appreciate Travis coming on the show. Great guys. And so then I was like, maybe I'll, because Ed's out of pocket this week. And then I was like, well, maybe I'll do another co-host this week, a different, someone else. So a surprise person. I even thought, well, maybe I'll do like a Twitter poll with like a couple choices. But then I would be like, hey, do you want to, then I would get like three candidates and I'd be like, hey, do you want to co-host? And they'd be like, yeah, when? And I tell them when. And then I go, but oh, hold on. Only if you win a poll amongst the 40 people that follow me on Twitter. Like, that would be kind of weird. So I don't know. Maybe I'll reach out to somebody next week. If you have any ideas, you can email me, mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. You can also leave a voicemail. I noticed that I had a voicemail here that I'd been sitting here for a while that I've been meaning to play. I haven't gotten to it the last couple of weeks with the co-hosts in the house, so I might get to that today. You can leave us a voicemail, though. 949-464-TBLS is the voicemail line if you would like to comment on Jason Stewart's routine. You could do that there. 949-464-TBLS. I saw a really good video of a Canadian redneck putting out a brush fire, a Canadian brush fire. It was probably wheat. It was like, 'cause they grow so much wheat in Canada. It was probably a wheat field. I don't know. He had a jet boat. A lot of you, there's some rednecks in my audience that are like, oh yeah, I got a jet boat. I know what a jet boat is. This guy had a jet boat and he was like using the rooster tail. He was like blasting water. He wasn't using the rooster tail. He was doing something where he like had like trimmed the jet part up and where he would just like hammer the gas and then blow water out of the jet. And he put out a fire with his fucking Canadian redneck jet boat. Like, fucking Canada rules. I love you guys. So bottom line is, you like, unless that video, that viral video, was observed by you somewhere else, you didn't see it because you're not following my Facebook page, The Baller Lifestyle Podcast on Facebook. Go there, like the page. Then you get the show when it comes out, and you get all the other, you know, stuff, the other links that we post there, and you get the other ancillary discussion that's not necessarily just Ed and I having a talk. Talk amongst yourselves over there. Of course, what's going on our iTunes? This might take a while to, iTunes is like the jankiest software. Like, for Apple, who makes like all the best shit, like, they, you know, the iPad, the iPhone, the MacBook, the iMac, all those things, all made by Apple, and all the best things. But then that's hardware. Their software, they make a little something to manage your audio for your computer, manage all your audio files, download all the music that you want to listen to, podcasts, stuff like that. That is a program called iTunes. And it is, like, just imagine the worst thing that Microsoft makes, which, like, Windows or Word or any of those, anything that Microsoft makes is the worst of its kind. So imagine that, but like 20% worse than the worst Microsoft thing. That's iTunes. That's how iTunes functions. But also it's like the number one place in the world to get podcasts. So go there, iTunes.com or whatever. I think you have to download the software. I'm not sure, but yeah, you guys have access to iTunes. Go to iTunes, check out the Baller Lifestyle podcast on iTunes. And when you're there, rate the show. And this, you're given a number of stars. Like you could do 1 star, you could do 2, all the way up to 5. I'm not fucking with anybody that does a less than 5-star review. This is 5-star reviews or GTFO. We don't have to revisit that one guy that gave us a 2-star review and then tried to deny it. He's like, sent an email saying we're too political, and then miraculously, the same week, somebody also leaves a 2-star review saying, I used to like that show, but now it's too political. And then when I ranted at the emailer, he emailed again and was like, oh no, I didn't leave that review. What? Come on. Too coincidental, buddy. Occam's razor. So yeah, go there. It doesn't appear that we have any new ones. And it's kind of sad because we have 102 ratings and 71 reviews. Who are the 31 lazy fucks that only clicked the rating and then didn't type like a fucking 3-word review? Like, you're the biggest monsters. You're a worse monster than the person that did nothing. At least the person that did nothing is universally lazy. Like, they don't act at all. You sort of started to do something, and then you're like, oh, fuck it. Like, I clicked a thing. Although I have gotten a lot of emails and tweets where people are like, what the fuck? I tried to leave a rating, and like, iTunes sucks. And you know what? iTunes does suck. Just don't tell the iTunes people, because I would really like to get on their new and notable, whatever. Like, I would like to, it would help the show if like the iTunes people became fans of the show. If I keep talking shit on their crappy software, they might not do that. Go to iTunes. Don't be like the lazy 31 people. Like, hey, you might have to go back. So it says right here, click to rate. Click 5 stars. Then below that, it says write a review. Click both those things. Click to rate 5 stars. And then go down to the thing below it where it says write a review. Go down there and write a review. You guys got that. Okay, what else? That's all the promotional stuff I do. Ooh, possible. Check my Instagram. I'll make a video or something. We might be... There's a possibility that there's a new official whiskey of the Baller Lifestyle podcast. You may recall before that we had an official whiskey. Well, our guy that worked at that whiskey doesn't work at that whiskey anymore. But since he's a fucking hero, Mike in Houston, I'll say his name, since he's like the greatest guy, he's like, hold up, I'm going to tell this other whiskey about you. And they might want to hook up a little sponsorship package. So nothing's been signed, but I've been given a bottle to sample. And I'm going to sample it. I'm going to give an honest review of it. I'll Instagram a picture. I'll put it in my Insta stories. You guys been following my Insta stories? I told you I was going to get back on there. I got a new battery in my phone. Got a new battery in my phone. I said, hey, I get this battery situation dealt with, and boom, it's going to be stories for days. So if you're not following my Instagram, you're missing out on very, very cool stuff that I'm doing, including a picture of the new whiskey that might be the new official whiskey of the Baller Lifestyle podcast. So look out for that. Lastly, I forgot. I lied when I said I was done with the promotional portion of the show. I'm going to promote one more thing. Patreon.com/theballerlifestyle. Go there. Support the show. I've been putting up more Patreon-only content for people that subscribe there via monetary donation. The give is $5 a month. If you give us $5, then you get all the promotional stuff you do that we do. You can listen to there. So very, very much appreciate the support of people that go into their pocket and give us some love via patreon.com/theballerlifestyle. You guys are heroes, and I love you. I love you. Did you hear that? I love you. Let's check in. Ed did. We do have some sound from Ed. He's sent along a few. He does a rant about whatever's happening, or he alerts us to whatever's going on in wherever he is, England. I think he's going back to. He might be back in Spain now. I'm not sure. And then he alerts us of some new. Some sports or non-sports topics for the week. And so he's got some of that. We'll hear from him in a moment. I was thinking about something, though, the other day. And it's just, I'm wondering if it's just me, that there's something wrong with me. A couple things. Firstly, the Dodgers, you guys know, I'm not a huge sports guy. I know this is the sports show of record. Like, whatever sports opinions I have, probably the right opinions. Don't get it twisted. Like, I know about shit, but I'm not like, I don't like really know the players a lot of the times. Like, I get the big picture stuff, but I can't really be bogged down with too many of the details. So I like the Dodgers. Everybody knows that. And the Dodgers are a juggernaut. And by juggernaut, I mean, they're probably going to set the record for wins, major league record for wins. I mean, they're on an absolute tear. It's July, or now it's, when you hear this, it's actually August. Show note, it's August. And the Dodgers' magic number is 44. Like, they're gonna win the division by like 20 games. And they're going to go to the playoffs, and they're going to lose to like Milwaukee or Houston or something, because they're the Dodgers, and that's what they do. But I saw that they acquired Yu Darvish. Yu Darvish, it turns out, is a Japanese guy. And his name is spelled Y-U. And for the life of me, I thought this guy was called Hugh Darvish. And I just thought everyone was pronouncing it with the East Coast pronunciation of Hugh. Yu Darvish. No, it's not. Like, you know how East Coasters pronounce Hugh? They swallow the H and they just say Yu Darvish? No, it's not Hugh. Also, no one is named Hugh anymore, which kind of sucks. I was thinking about this. I have a buddy named Gary. And I was thinking to myself, there is not a fucking single baby in the world named Gary. But if there were, it would immediately become the cutest baby. Because if you met a baby, like a three-month-old little baby, and it was called Gary, you'd fucking laugh your ass off. You'd be like, that's a cute-ass baby. Well, same with Hugh. Hugh's one of those names. Like, there's nobody named – there's no kid. There's definitely no baby named Hugh. Maybe, like, somebody's got, like, named – you know, there's, like, the third or the fourth somewhere named, like, family name Hugh. But it's unlikely. There's not very many, that's for sure. We're living in a time of Jadens, and that's my, you know, that's my hot felon corollary. That's all you need to know. We're living in the time of Jadens. So we're 30 years away from a Supreme Court justice called either Jaden or Caden or Brooklyn. Nevaeh, like, they're coming. This is going to happen. It's the hot felon corollary. If you're not familiar with my hot felon corollary, you're not caught up on the show. So yeah, Hugh. If there's a baby called Hugh, it'd be pretty fucking cute. But I've run into a situation now, and I want to know if it's just me. And I'm not trying to do like, what's up with this airline food comedy? I'm seriously asking because I might be wrong. It used to be that when you drive on the freeway, some of you guys might call it the highway. I don't know what the fuck's wrong with you. The interstate. We call it the freeway out here. It used to be that when you drive on the freeway, if you wanted to go faster than the other cars, you would move over as far as you could go to the left. And then when you were in the furthest most lane to the left, you would go faster than everyone else. And all the cars on the right would be going a bit slower than you. And you could just pass all those cars on the right. Then when you would come up to a car that was also all the way to the left, but it didn't quite want to go the rate of speed that you do, that car would move over a lane, let you go, and then it could either move back into the lane or just continue in the lane it moved into. Are you familiar with this, the fast lane? Well, now it's not a thing anymore because when you're in the fast lane and you come upon a car going too slow for the fast lane, they don't move over. They just stay there. They just sit there. And it's become such an epidemic that the left lane is no longer the fast lane. Like the rule, it's the hot felonization of our country, of the nation, the hot felonization of the nation, that the left lane is no longer the fast lane because people aren't aware that it's the fast lane anymore. And so they just go, oh, fuck, I'll go 60. I'm just going to fucking sit here. I don't know. I don't know the rules. Along those lines, so I'm drawing you a picture, a metaphor. Along those lines, I've run into the same problem walking. When you're walking on the sidewalk or in a hallway or anywhere, and you encounter a person coming opposite you, the sidewalk is the same as the road. So when a car comes opposite you on the road, what do? You move to the right. Same as when you're walking. You're walking down the sidewalk. You encounter somebody else on the sidewalk. You move to your right. They move to their right, and then you pass each other. That's how you I throw a hi or a smile. Hey, how you doing? How's it going? You know, I do that. But I've noticed now that nearly every time I encounter somebody walking on the fucking sidewalk, they break hard. I go to the right and they break hard to their left and just almost run. And then we have to, hey, want to dance? Like that whole thing? What the fuck happened to civility? This is more of the hot felonization of the world. Like, how do people not know the rules? The fast lane goes fast, and then if somebody's going faster than you care to go, you just move out of the way. That doesn't happen anymore, so it's no longer that. And the moving to the right when encountering another human being while walking or riding your bike or your skateboard or one of those recumbent bikes, any type of non-powered vehicle or even a powered one, I don't know, go-ped. Is it just me? Was that never a rule? I just assumed it was. I thought you just moved to the right. The cars moved to the right. Moved to the fucking right. I don't know. Let's hear what Ed Daly has to say. I don't know if he has an opinion on this, but I just thought of it right now, and it's really been driving me crazy. And it will happen to me. Mark my words. This will happen to me tomorrow. And you know what? I'm going to try to make an Insta story. I'm going to hold my phone. This would be funny. I won't do it, but it would be funny if I did. I'll make an Insta story and I'll pretend like I'm not making a video, and I will show you me trying to walk a direction, somebody coming up the other way, and them immediately breaking hard to their left when they should be just sort of moving to the right. What the fuck is going on? Honestly. Okay, let's check in with Ed Daly. Ed!
Hey, Brian. Last night, I went down to the pub after putting the kids to bed, and right as I was paying for my first beer, somebody got on the loudspeaker and said, "And we're back with Jazz Night." And then the bartender handed me my beer, which I drank probably faster than I have since college, and left. And my only question is, who likes jazz and why? Because it always sounds like four people who have never played an instrument before playing an instrument. I don't know. It's devastating to hear jazz.
You know, that's an interesting question. There was a time when I was like, yeah, what's this? I consider myself pretty worldly. And so I'm like, I'm gonna listen to some of this jazz, like Miles Davis, Bitches Brew, John Coltrane, Thelonious Monk. And I'll tell you what, not for me. F minus, negative stars, zero stars, not a fan. I got to agree with Ed Daly here, not a jazz guy. Can't find the beat. It's very frenetic. There doesn't seem to be a beginning, middle, or end. I wish it would end every time I'm hearing it. It makes me very nervous and uncomfortable. I assume you just have to be just beaked out of your fucking dome on heroin to really like get involved with jazz and be interested in jazz, because I've never been high enough to enjoy it. So I'm 100% with Ed Daly. Fuck jazz. And fuck people that pretend to like jazz. Because I assume they're pretending. Because it's not like you can tap your foot to it, because they don't keep regular time. Like, what are they even doing? Very confusing. Not a fan. Fuck jazz. Quickly, Kyle and Scani left a voicemail. I forgot. He's our favorite voicemailer on the show. He lives in Wisconsin. His name's Kyle. He's got strong takes on Pabst Blue Ribbon and Skidoos. He left a message because someone called him out, as they said. I can't remember what the context was, but they said they were talking about Packers. I think it was somebody else that said they hated the Packers. And they're like, I don't want to hear from Kyle and Scani. And it turns out Kyle and Scani, also not a fan of the Packers. Let's check in with old Kyle. What's up, Kyle?
Hey guys, what's going on? Somebody called me out thinking I'm a fucking Packer fan. Fucking wrong. Fuck the Packers and everyone associated with them. That's a fucking cult. If anything, go Brewers. They just swept the shit out of the fucking Orioles this week, so that made my fucking July 4th. So God bless America. Later, guys.
God bless America and go Brewers. There's something you can get behind. Everyone can get behind. You know the Brewers logo? We've talked about this. Remember the show Bosom Buddies? And how I only just like within the last year realized that it was a double entendre, that it was called Bosom because they had breasts. They were pretending to be women. Also, this fucking premise, like, how much cocaine were people on in the 80s, producers? Who bought that fucking idea? Oh, we got to green light this shit. I mean, they looked nothing like women. It was Tom Hanks and the guy who you thought was going to be the bigger star, Peter Scolari. You're like, oh, this is the guy. This Tom Hanks is just the other guy. This Peter Scolari, he's going to be the guy. Turns out he's not the guy. Tom Hanks is the fucking biggest star in the world. He's our Jimmy Stewart. Well, anyways, I didn't realize that Bosom Buddies was a double entendre where they're saying, hey, yeah, I just thought they were close friends. I just thought, hey, they're roommates. They work in advertising. One wants to be a cartoonist. They want to live in a chicks only building. Was that ever a thing? There's no way that there was apartment buildings that only rented to broads. Are you kidding me? How's that even legal? Anyway, I just thought they were close friends. Not the case. It was actually, the show was called Bosom Buddies because of their bosoms. And I just realized that one day. It just came to me. No one explained it. Well, the same with the Milwaukee Brewers logo. That little glove on their hat, it's an M and a B. I didn't know that. I didn't know that till like that. I mean, this isn't, the Bosom Buddies thing was fairly recent, but the Milwaukee Brewers thing, that was probably like 5 or 6 years ago that I figured that one out. MB. The Brewers have, we should do a ranking of the best jerseys, the best gear. The worst gear, obviously, hands down, Arizona Diamondbacks. Just the trashiest uniforms, embarrassing. They have that Paul Goldschmidt. He's a pretty good hitter. I bet he would be 30% better if he wore a better looking uniform, because it cannot feel good to go out and play in that like maroonish, burgundy-ish, textured. It's horrid. And the thing is, it used to be even worse. When they were gold and teal, they were actually even worse than they are now. We need to do a like top five uniform squads. And Major League Baseball, if you're listening, you guys got to go back to pretty much every team having a light blue option. I don't know where that came from, but in the 70s and 80s, like half the teams were like, hey, why don't we just, instead of like white or gray, we just have our pullover jerseys be like light blue. Like the Brewers were one of those teams. They had a light blue option, and the White Sox, light blue, Phillies, light blue, the Cardinals had a light blue option. Just like half the teams are like, what? Fuck it. We need some light blue up in this bitch. We got to come back to that. I'm into the pullover jerseys that we used to rock in Major League Baseball, and I'm for sure into a light blue option. And yes, I've only recently figured out the MB on the Brewers hat, and the Brewers throwback hat is like one of the better hats. I like the Brewers hat. If I had to rank hats off the top of my head, put it in the top 10. It's a top 10 hat for sure. Cap. Okay, let's hear. Oh, few emails. I'll knock out some, just a couple now. We'll do a few later. This one's super long, but this references maybe the greatest voicemail we've ever received in the history of the show. And it was, I don't know what episode it was on, so you're going to have to go back and listen. But it was from our dear friend Telly Tuputz on Twitter when he found out that he was dating a Trump supporter. He also clued us into the fact that she was one of the top three hottest chicks he'd ever hooked up with. And he was shocked to find out she was a Trump supporter. And he didn't know how to go on because he's a fuck Trump guy. And he was looking for advice. He was looking for life coaching. Well, it turns out after the show, he came back with, and oh, by the way, she's black. What? A hot black female Donald Trump supporter. That's very shocking. Well, apparently another one of our listeners wants to weigh in and help you out, Telly, so pay attention. Brian, Ed, Fancy, none of those other people are here, by the way, it's just me. I'm listening to Full Turgidity. That was the name of the episode. So go back and listen to Full Turgidity. While packing my sticks for a trip to Scottsdale with some buddies, Telly Tuputz just thrusted himself into consideration for drunkest show caller to date. First off, Telly need not be shamed for his continued pursuit of Trump girl, especially if she's in his top three. That being said, don't rank your girls, Telly. If she's hot, she's hot. Leave it at that or describe a nice feature. I noticed there has been a lot of ranking. Another guy emailed a while back, this reminds me, to say he was dating a chick with such beautiful genitals, he was already regretting when they would eventually break up because he didn't think he'd ever see genitals that amazing again. And that I can understand. But also, you got to live in the moment. Also, you got to appreciate all different kinds of genitals because they're all beautiful in their own way. Now, secondly, the fastest way to flip a Trump supporter is horizontally. That's, I mean, really going for jokes there. Telly, give her the D and then talk some sense into her the next morning while you make breakfast. I mean, that's one tact. I have some recent experience with your problem, so I'll share the steps I took, and perhaps you can replicate if you don't get too hammered. I still spend occasional nights with a former Trump girl. I dated her this spring, but I broke up with her 6 weeks ago because she was the worst listener I ever met. I mean, that's a legitimate reason to break up with somebody, by the way. I first connected with her on Bumble, and on our first date, the election had just been decided, so naturally the topic came up. Bumble is the dating app where the chicks got to make the first move. I feel like if I were single and in the game, I would be slaying it on Bumble right now. But that's beside the point. I'm happily in a relationship. You guys should know. So don't try it. She's a very tan and pretty girl, 22 years old. So I assume she had voted for anyone besides the guy who grabs women by the pussy when he wants to introduce himself. Well, I would have lost a lot of money in Vegas that night because at the dinner table, she pulled a book out of her purse. The title of the book was The Art of the Deal. And she goes, quote, "I voted for this guy," all caps. "I tried to keep my jaw from hitting the table and attempted to remain focused on the night's number one goal, score, and play like a champion. I acted very impressed by her bold decision to make America great again. I told her I was Team America and wanted the best for our country, but I listed off some of the never-ending character flaws of our authoritarian demagogue, Donald Trump. I then ordered more wine for us as a way of changing the topic, and we went on to have a great night. The next morning, and every time we slept together thereafter, I continued to explain the dangers of having a child as President of the United States. I've educated myself pretty well on the unfortunate topic, so I would openly and kindly suggest that she look up any points that she felt were inaccurate. Slowly but surely, she has shifted her stance, and yesterday she finally uttered a phrase that made me smile. Quote, "How could anyone still support that guy?" Telly, keep at it. Be respectful. Walk away from the topic if she gets heated. As emotions rise, intelligence drops. Good luck, amigo. Best. That is from Reed in Houston. That's good advice, Reed. You flipped a Trump. You kept her cool. You were respectful of her and her beliefs, and you slowly worked to enlighten her as to the error of her ways, and you convinced her. That's great. Excellent email. Thank you, Reed. Quickly, another email. Does no toppings on my hot dog make me an absolute savage? If so, I'm okay with that. That is from Dave in San Clemente. Yes, it does. And we talked about this on the hot dog episode because I mentioned that I saw one of my buddies eating a fucking, just ordering, getting a hot dog like from the hot dog guy at a ball game. And the hot dog guy gives him the hot dog and then the hot dog guy like reaches into his pocket or wherever, his pouch, and he's got a little mustard, relish, you know, he's got like little packets, squeeze packets. If you're getting a hot dog from the hot dog vendor, the walk around hot dog vendor is a tough play because you don't get any of the good toppings other than mustard. And then I saw my buddy just fucking like wave the guy off like, no thanks, like closed his eyes, looked away and just waved him away with the toppings. And then he just opened up the foil and just fucking ate that hot dog, just bun and hot dog. Disgusting. Monster. Okay, let's see what else Ed Daly has to say. We got some sports topics to discuss. He's always the king of these, so let's see what he's brought us today. Ed.
In sports, with only a few weeks to go before Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor fight, it seems there are hundreds of tickets and hotel rooms still available. Now, while promoters have repeatedly boasted that the fight will shatter the Mayweather-Pacquiao gate record of $72 million, it appears there's still lots of wood to chop. Brian, why do you think this is the case? Is it because Floyd Mayweather is an unlikable asshole who's all his fights are super boring? Or the fact that Mayweather is facing another unlikable asshole who's never even boxed before?
Yeah, good question. I don't know. I'm not interested in this. I'm not the market. Yes, I don't like Floyd Mayweather, but he's a pretty good boxer. And by pretty good, I mean super boring, but really good at not getting hit. So it's not, that doesn't interest me. And he looks masterful against other guys that are really good at boxing. This Conor McGregor, I kind of like him. He's brash. He's an asshole. He's Irish. And he's a bad motherfucker in the UFC. Like, he's a tough dude. And if they let him kick, he would fuck up this Floyd Mayweather guy. But he's not going to get to kick. He's only going to get to box. And that's like, he's not a world-class boxer. And Floyd Mayweather, he's 40, but he's not. He's still was a world-class boxer. He's never been beaten by actual boxers. So it's pretty boring. I definitely would never pay for it. It's kind of a sideshow thing, which I think is why people are interested to some extent. So if you're having it at your house and you want me to come over, I'll come over and check it out. But I'm definitely not gonna buy it at my own house. What else, Ed?
Former basketball player and current unfunny entertainer Shaquille O'Neal just released a 3-minute diss tape of Lonzo Ball's dad, LeVar. In a sad rap, Shaq drops lines like, "I've been doing this a long time, when you were averaging 2 points riding the pine, and you having a dream when you wake up, apologize, and bow down to my Staples Center statue hanging off the side of the building." And Brian, what's worse, when a father gloms on to the success of his sons, or when a guy confuses being able to dunk a basketball with the ability to entertain?
Yeah, Shaq. Shaq's, he doesn't need to be rapping. Like, he's really worn out as welcome. I do like how he cribbed that line from Reservoir Dogs, "You shoot me in a dream, you better wake up and apologize." That's pretty good. But other than that, it's, you guys, this LeVar Ball, you're just don't pay attention to him and he'll go away. You never have to hear from him again. This is the Trump corollary. Everyone's like, "Oh, this Trump's running for president. What a jackass. Listen to all the stupid shit he's saying. Send a camera over there. Oh, he just told Marco Rubio he's got a small cock. That's fucking, how unpresidential. Let's put another camera in his face. Interview him." And before you know it, the guy's the fucking president. This is, you're doing the same thing to LeVar Ball. Like, honestly, what other basketball player's dad do you know? Just don't pay attention. I have no interest in LeVar Ball. I never pay attention to anything he says. Don't know shit. I know he's got a big yellow tooth in the front of his mouth. That looks fucked up. Lonzo could probably pay to get that fixed. That I would like to see. That I would tune into. They're going to have a show on Facebook. And if the first episode is him going to a cosmetic dentist, preferably not in the Chino Hills area where he lives, that's another thing. Yeah, first episode, finding a place to live not in Chino Hills, like getting west of the 91 freeway is an important thing to do. You got money now, there's no reason to stay in Chino Hills. Get the fuck out of there. That's episode one of there, because they're going to have a show on Facebook. Episode two, LeVar gets his tooth fixed. You got me for both of those. Like in, watching, totally watching, recording it, sharing it, all the above. So let's get that happening. But the point is this LaVar Ball, just don't fucking pay attention to him. Like, who gives a fuck? He talks a bunch of shit. He says outrageous stuff just so you pay attention. And this is how we ended up with Donald Trump as president. And guess what? LaVar, we're living in LaVar's time. Like, he's just fucking doing whatever he wants because all these dummies pay attention to it. And we're, you know what we're going to end up with? LaVar Ball 2020. President LaVar Ball, because we're living in the time of Hot Felon. So watch out. Okay, lastly, what else, Ed?
Followers of the Scottish Premiership club Inverness Caledonian Thistle looked at the team's Twitter account and the list of favorited tweets and found something a little different than usual than the go team or, you know, we love Caledonian Thistle. What they found was the team was liking a bunch of face down, ass up, pile driving videos from Pornhub. The team released a statement saying that they apologize. We have notified the authorities and the team is investigating the incident. Brian, how hard is it to investigate a thirsty social media manager?
This actually happened to me not that long ago. I was like interviewing for a job, a real job. And it was like it was like PR marketing. And it was like a forward facing deal where you're like known person. Like you have to be like you're the spokesperson for the group that you're representing. And so I'm like getting ready to interview and I'm like, okay, let me see the like the social stuff that they've done. So I go on, I just Google, this took me 1 second. I Google the guy I'm supposed to go interview with, the guy that would be my boss at this company. And I immediately, like one of the top things that comes up, you know, like his LinkedIn and shit. I didn't look at that because I don't care. Also, LinkedIn, they can see when you look at their LinkedIn, which I don't like. And I know there's a way to do it secretly, but I don't care that much. I just don't look. But I saw his Twitter. So I look at his Twitter. And, you know, it's rare that you go to somebody's actual Twitter page because, like, you follow people and they pop up in your shit. And then you see somebody, like that's retweeted and you're like, oh, they're kind of funny. Maybe I'll follow them. But you don't go to their actual page. Well, I went to this guy's page. And something that happens on your Twitter page is that when you follow someone, it shows up on your Twitter feed. It's like Brian followed, you know, I don't know who I follow, but just name somebody and it shows you who you followed. And this guy, like the first, so I read down like three tweets and it's like, you know, it's like about the business that he worked. Like this is his, you know, he doesn't have like a personal one and a corporate one. His like corporate one is his personal one, like because people are their job now or whatever. And so he's like, you know, it's like about a great day, you know, at this event or whatever. And then like after the third top three tweets, which are all like work related, it's like Mike recently followed and it was like a whore. It was, I mean, I don't know if that's the right word. It was like a prostitute. I don't think that's the right word either. Escort. That's what I was looking for. I'm like, wait, is he like following like a porn star or something? And so I clicked on it and it wasn't a porn star. It wasn't even a cam person, like where they're like, hey, check out my, you know, go on this website and I'll show you my butt or whatever. It was like meet me at this hotel, like that. And I was like, whoa, that wasn't very smart. And then I kept scrolling. And there was a fucking, he'd done that a bunch of times to all sorts of different hookers. And I was like, dude, you can't do that. That is a big, big no-no. Meanwhile, I don't think I got the interview. I'm not even sure what happened with that. But at some point I would have told him, hey, this is a bad look. Same with like you're working with some Scottish team. And what were they called? Something Cambridge Thistle or something? That sounds like a good kind of whiskey. Like, hey, try our new Cambridge Thistle Scotch. I'd be into that. So the thing is like you can, don't get me wrong, you can look at that stuff that if you follow it or like it, people are going to see. For instance, on Instagram, I might follow an account called Butt Snorkeler. I happen to enjoy their content. I think it's pretty good. But I don't like their posts. I also follow the famous model actress Emily Ratajkowski. She's has to be one of the most followed people on Instagram, so I don't think I'm like breaking news to anybody. But she's got a pretty good feed. I like her pictures, but I don't like her pictures. You know what I'm saying? Because people can see that. Also, if you're in a relationship, it's kind of disrespectful to your chick. Like, chicks don't really like it if you're like looking all thirsty on the internet all the time. So it's, oh, you can check that stuff out, but you don't have to act like click the like Ed said, like face down, ass up porno videos. That's a little extreme. Okay, that's a couple more quickly, and then we'll get to fancy sauce. I feel like I've been rambling quite a bit, but that's what I do. Let's see what else Ed's got.
In Sydney, Australia recently, Performance Space, an eco-sexual bathhouse, gave people the opportunity to have sex with the earth. Vice talked to the founders, who promised a no-holds-barred extravaganza meant to dissolve the barriers between species as we descend into oblivion as a result of our global environmental crisis. And apparently these people think fucking the earth will make the planet better, and it's part of a growing movement. At San Francisco's Pride Parade, ecosexuals petitioned to have the letter E be added to the LGBTQ acronym. As many as 100,000 people around the world now identify themselves as ecosexual. Now, Brian, I have a pretty unhealthy-looking tree in my backyard. Do you think one of those people could come over and fuck it back to life?
This isn't real. This isn't real. I'm not buying this, not even one bit. I don't buy it at all. There used to be a show about people that like were in love with their car or something. I think some woman was like married to the Eiffel Tower. One guy was like fucking his 66 Mustang in the tailpipe and all. Like, some of those might be kind of real. Those are like, those people are nuts. And so maybe I think they are kind of putting it on. It's like a hypnotist. Like the guy, the hypnotist, first of all, the hypnotist finds all the dummies in the crowd, right? And he gets them up there, because you can only be hypnotized if you're real stupid. So he gets all the dummies up there, and then he detects in the person who's most willing to play along. And then he goes, okay, I'm going to get this person to do some shit because they're in this. They like being up here and acting stupid. They're going to do what I tell them. And yeah, they're air quotes hypnotized, but also they're into it. They want to be act stupid. And it's the same with these ecosexuals. Like, no one wants to fuck the earth. No one that's ever had sex with a human being, like, that's connected with somebody and gotten fucking super hot and sweaty and just like really like fucked another living, breathing person that they're attracted to. They're not all of a sudden like, hey, I think I'm going to go fuck the knot hole in that pine over there. I'm just not buying that. Also, pine trees. Fuck pine trees. Worst tree. Okay, lastly, I think Ed's got one more. What else, Ed?
A Topeka, Kansas woman was sleeping in her apartment when her 2-year-old daughter complained about a bug. So Monique Quarles picked it up and lit it on fire with her lighter. Then she turned over her daughter's mattress and found another one. She once again tried to light it, but this time lit the mattress and eventually the whole place was on fire. When I grabbed the bug and I had it, I went to light it, and then the lighter started sparking. So these sparks then went onto the box spring, she told the newspapers. The sparks just started flying on it and inside of it. I said, get out, get the baby, call 911. And that's what we did, Quarles said, adding that she alerted her neighbors to evacuate the building. 17 neighbors were displaced because of the fire. Brian, should Child Services take the 2-year-old away from the General Sherman of Topeka, or should they wait for one more time?
I mean, it's Kansas, you know? Like, what could go wrong? I don't know. People really freak out about bugs. I don't know why you need to burn a bug. I just relocate them. I don't even, I guess if something's particularly gross, I'll kill it, you know, but I'm like, usually I'll just like pick it up with a magazine or something and either put it outside or in the toilet, flush the toilet. Spiders, 100% of the time I relocate because they're good for the environment. They're good for the ecosystem. So if I find a spider, I pick it up with something around and I take it outside. I put it outside. Bug, I kill a bug, but it's whatever's easiest. Like lately, they're gone now, but we had a lot of June bugs flying in and I would just whack them and then just kind of open the door and just flick them outside, like flick them with my finger or my foot, just kind of whack, like get out of here. But no, it takes a special kind of human being to like try to burn bugs inside a tent or wherever she was. It's crazy. It's actually crazy. Okay. Thanks for all that, Ed. You are, as always, a hero. Can't wait. I think it might be 2 weeks yet, two or one more show after this one before you come back, but can't wait to get you back in the fold. Thanks for reaching out from across the pond. Now, guys, joining us now is our very own pop culture correspondent, person that she's a good life coach. Like, she gives you the female perspective. She'll tell you some stuff. She's got a new, if you're really into pictures of food on Instagram, well, you should be following Fancy Graham on Instagram anyway. I feel like she just posted a picture that a lot of people would like. But additionally, she has a new pursuit. She's decided she's a food blogger now, and she's got a food related Instagram page, Kate's Plates, that is just fucking burning up the charts, where she posts pictures of things she serves me for dinner. So you should check that out. Instagram, Kate's Plates. She joins us now. Of course, I'm talking about our very own pop culture correspondent, Fancy Sauce. How you doing, Fancy?
What's up? Were you talking about my Kate's Plates Instagram?
Yeah,
I have like 35 followers.
Yeah, you're killing it. You're destroying the Kate's Plates. How's it going, Kato?
Oh, it's good.
You haven't been in the studio much. Have you heard me? I've just been talking this whole time, just by myself.
I could hear you talking, like, on and on.
Yes.
I don't know what
you're
talking
about.
And
did you get like a little tingle? Because
no,
I'm like, so.
No.
You're like, is that a young Tom Selleck in the other room?
I was not thinking that.
Is that a 32-year-old Harry Hamlin in the studio over there? Like,
I wasn't thinking that.
Why am I having sexual thoughts right now? And then you're like, oh no, it's just because Brian, the dulcet tones of Brian's voice for an hour.
Yeah.
Was that what happened?
I'm very familiar with your talking.
That's true. okay, let's do
some. How's everyone doing?
Oh, really good. It's just you and I. So,
wow, I'm talking to
like the listeners.
Everyone listening.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Just quickly, I have a new Patreon shout out. James Heller. Welcome to the fam.
James Heller, high
What's
water.
What's up, James?
Oh, I feel
it's
like
my brother's name and my dad's
I
name.
I feel like I know this guy from Facebook or something. Hey, James Heller, you're the man.
Yeah, thanks for your support.
You are a hero. Thank you for supporting the
show.
Part
of a very elite group.
It's true. It's true. It's a great group of people. Okay, Kate, let's...
Do we have emails
today? Yeah, let's do some emails.
I feel like we had emails last week, but then Jay Stu bounced on us.
Yeah, it was...
So we never got to any.
That's exactly what happened, okay. As a matter of fact.
Well, we can do them now.
Let's do them. Okay. Brian and Ed. Well, this is actually...
Should I be Ed?
It's just Brian and Fancy.
Okay.
I have never experienced a set of fake cans before. What are they like? Are they all they are cracked up to be because they look spectacular? I value your opinion. Thank you. That's from Irk in Boston. I thought he misspelled his name. I thought his name was Eric with a K.
Oh, it's just E-R-K?
It's just E-R-K.
Sorry, I didn't hear what did...
He's never been up close and personal with a woman that has breast implants.
Oh,
And he wants, maybe he has and he doesn't know it. They're getting better at them.
Yeah, I don't know. I've only like squeezed a few of my girlfriends.
Yep.
Who are like, do you want to feel what it feels like? And right. I'm like, yeah. Yeah. And it doesn't feel the same as natural boobs.
They feel how they look.
Yeah, that's a bag of either saline or silicone, right. Like just under your skin.
And they're a little
plastic bag.
They're a little too. They're not as supple as a real titty. I prefer authentic things, obviously. But some chicks need them.
Okay, so does Eric have a question?
Yeah, he wants to know what they're like.
Oh,
we answered it.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
Not
Irk.
As good as
also,
the real thing.
Love having a love
fake
having a,
things are never as good as the real thing.
I love having
right.
I agree. I would agree with that. Yeah.
Okay.
Love having a Boston listener.
I know, like,
that's big for us. Good
What's
for
up,
you,
Boston?
Irk. Love Boston. Okay, here's another one. Gents and ladies, lady.
Hey, lady.
Greetings from the part of Illinois where while purchasing Coors Light, they look at you like you are wealthy. Parentheses, not Chicago. I used to listen to Brian and Travis when I lived in Houston and have since been married and have children and moved back to my home state. Anyway, my
sorry about that, dude.
Father-in-law, while ordering at a restaurant, says, "Gimme the," and it really pisses me off. Can we address restaurant etiquette at some point on the show? Sorry for the lack of punctuation and run-on sentences. I've had a few. Thanks. That's from Greg Punzelt.
Hey, Greg.
Greg.
I agree. Addressing anyone with gimme the.
Okay, here. Yeah. Go.
It's fucking rude.
I agree.
Have some class.
Sort of agree, but I'm not.
But I think it's like it's kind of like an old man gimmick too.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Right?
I was going to say like, hey, like that's not cool.
It depends on his delivery though.
I think I might do that.
Yeah, I think you might.
I think
do.
I might do that.
It depends on the delivery.
But I do it, but I'm very polite.
If he's doing it with a smile and he's being good natured about it and is otherwise generally
right,
polite
right.
to
yes.
the wait staff in restaurants,
right.
then, you know, okay. It's not right. my favorite, but
right.
I guess it would depend on the delivery and, you know, how it comes across. If it's coming across like you're being kind of a rude dick.
Right.
No.
Yeah, it's the delivery. Because I do, see, when I do it, if I do it, I'm not sure, but I could picture myself doing
now
it.
Now I'm going to make a point
if,
of
when I do
seeing
it,
if you do.
When I do it, I'm very charming, right? Like,
ultra charming.
Do you notice that when I'm like, give me the, that, and the server is a woman and she's, and all of a sudden like the humidity goes up in the room a little bit?
No.
Because
but I do notice because you make a point of knowing everyone's
dampness.
Names. Like if someone's wearing their name, you will always address them by their name.
Yeah, I learn people's name.
Yes.
And I say, sometimes I'll ask their name. What was your name?
That's true.
And then I'll say, hey, Sheila, how'd you give me the Eggs Benedict?
You're trying to think of a menu item?
Yeah.
Greg, is it Greg?
Yeah, Greg Punzelt.
Greg, I would like to see your pointedly polite menu ordering in juxtaposition with your father-in-law.
Oh, yes.
I bet
yes.
that's funny.
That's very passive-aggressive. Yeah. Yeah, you should do that. But I, you know what, Greg? I don't know if I do that. I think I might do that, but I'm gonna I won't do it anymore because now I'm going to be self-conscious about it, and I will watch.
I always start, I believe, I always
I
start
like,
my menu ordering with I would like the
I would like
please.
The please. That's yeah. that's probably what I do too.
Next. Or I'll have the.
Yeah, I'll have the. Here's another one. What's up, guys? I'm developing a new theory, but need your opinion before it is finalized. The theory is a woman's lips, nipples, and genitals are all the same color. Thank you, Ricky and SD. I assume that's San Diego. What do you think, Kate?
I was just looking at my nipple.
Yeah.
I
would say you're
similar.
It's pretty close. Your lips and nipples are, because I just saw you look at your nipple there. Your nipples are a bit lighter than your lips.
Yeah.
But
a very fair skin.
Same tone.
I do not want you to speak about any other lips besides the one on my face. on the podcast.
I don't think that is a new theory, though, Ricky. Just to be honest, I think
Ricky Buddy.
I think that's an
Ricky Bobby.
I think that's an accurate theory, except in certain cases.
Right.
But yes, I think you might be right.
Okay.
Good question. Here's another one. Quick question. I'm meeting my family at the in-laws for dinner. What's the appropriate amount of time to wait in my car and pretend I'm still at work before going in? Thanks. That's from Dave in San Clemente. Dave, I would argue you need to take the opposite tact. Get there early, because the earlier you get there, the sooner you can leave.
Not if you have my job.
What's that mean? Oh, cool, because you're actually working late.
Wait, what was the question?
Oh, my God. Don't worry about it. I answered it. Okay, next one. This is the last one.
Sorry, Dave.
Oh, wait, no. That was I accidentally put Ricky's nipple theory on here twice.
Oh.
So, yeah, Dave, it's don't, like, sit in the car too long. I do know a guy, though, that will, like, before he goes to, like, a family function, he'll hit, like, a local liquor store and get, like, a fifth. No, wait, what's a pint? Not a pint of beer, though. Like a pint of, like, whiskey or something.
Yeah, the little
or a
bottle.
Or a couple airline bottles. And he'll just
knock back
a few sips.
Take
the edge off before he goes in.
Family.
Hard.
Family events hard times. Are fun, aren't they?
Yeah. Okay, Kate, what is going on in the world of pop culture? What is happening in fancy pop?
So is it a known thing that Allen Iverson has a drinking and gambling problem?
Sports topic. I would say yes, that's a known thing.
So he often will go on drinking and gambling benders, like the one he recently went on this past weekend.
I did hear something about this. I don't know if he will often do that because he's not really in the public eye anymore.
Right.
You know, he's not a player or a coach or, you know, I'm sure he appears
places.
When
did he leave the league?
Oh, it's been a while.
So he now coaches, he's now the coach and captain of the Threes Company team. What is that?
Okay, so I happen to know about this because I watched like 5 minutes of it on TV the other night. It's like all these, Ice Cube has a league.
He does?
Yeah. Ice Cube has a league.
Fuck the Police League?
Yeah. He's got a league. He owns this league and it's like all like retired players and they play 3-on-3. Half court, and it's the first to 50 wins, and there's like 4-point shots and shit.
Okay.
It's kind of good. I kind of like it.
Is it on TV?
It's on Fox Sports.
That sounds good. I might like that.
I mean, I don't think you would, but I was watching it the other night, and you didn't seem to have any interest. But yeah. And
so he had a game. He was supposed to have a game on
Sunday.
So
you would think that this Allen Iverson would be dominating this shit, but he's actually, even though he would be one of the younger guys in the league, he wouldn't be one of the older guys, I guess. I guess they'd all be about his age, but some guys are older. You would think he would be playing in the league, but he's just sort of like a figurehead from what I saw.
Oh, okay. So he coaches, he's like the captain. Right. But if you're the captain, you play.
He doesn't play. I watched it, he didn't play.
He was supposed to be in Dallas to play a team called Team Power. He never showed up. He was spotted at the Rivers Casino in Des Plaines, Illinois, Saturday night till about 3 a.m. And then he resurfaced around 10 p.m.
That sounds so depressing.
Sunday in the same clothes he'd been wearing at the casino in the days before.
There is nothing. I am more disgusted
so
by
depressing.
Than having to wear the same clothes on back-to-back days. No shower, that probably means. Or worse, having to take off his dirty casino smelly smoke clothes, take a shower, and then put his clothes back on. It would probably be especially hard for him because when he was in the NBA, he notoriously did not bring luggage on road trips. He would just go to whatever new town was in.
And just buy whatever he needed. Send somebody to
buy new clothes.
Go get what he needed.
Buy new clothes.
So baller.
Every town he went to, he'd get some new.
Nothing more baller than that.
He'd get some new Gerbaud jeans.
Do you have any friends that like will go away for a weekend and won't really bring stuff with them.
Yeah, my buddy McGrader. How you're saying that because you know I'm going away with him this weekend.
What is his deal?
He's not going to bring anything. Well, he brings a toothbrush.
Thank God.
And deodorant.
All right.
And sunscreen.
Three very important.
And then
three, I would argue, of the most important items, but there are other important items that he's forgotten to put in his bag.
And then if he's like gets something on his shirt or something, he'll just buy another t-shirt.
Wait, that's this weekend you're going away?
Yeah.
I think I knew that and forgot, and then I knew it and forgot, yeah. And now I'm realizing again now.
Chicago listeners, I'll be at Wrigley on Friday and Saturday if you want to come buy me a beer.
And hey, everybody, I'll be home alone this weekend.
Hey,
so.
Hey. Okay, what else is going on, Cato?
Well, another one bites the dust. Sam Shepard died on Monday. Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright and actor. He played the astronaut.
Chuck Yeager
in The Right Stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great role. But sadly, this is just a reminder that we still are no closer to a cure for the devastating disease ALS.
Yeah.
Lou Gehrig's disease.
You know what?
So it's Lou Gehrig's is ALS,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, ALS. And
sometimes I get things wrong.
But
I
that
have to check.
Ice bucket challenge was actually like a huge windfall for ALS
That's
research.
True. They made a ton of money.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people didn't just do the dumb shit thing and pour a bucket of the ice on their head. A lot of people actually went into the website and donated.
You're supposed to do both.
I don't think people did.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people did because they made like $100 million.
Yeah, I think a lot of people
also
with a lot of money donated a lot.
Also, this ALS, the most fucked up disease. Like just so fucking awful. Worst disease.
I would agree.
And
terrible.
Lou Gehrig, kind of a bad guy. I mean,
well, he's got a bad disease named after him.
Everyone said he was a good guy, and from all accounts, he was a good guy. But I mean, he gave us
what
this,
did he do?
He gave us this disease.
What? Why was he bad?
No, he wasn't bad. He was great. Trying to make a joke.
I don't know who Lou Gehrig is.
Yeah, he played first base for the Yankees. Pride of the Yankees. Okay, what else, Kate?
Okay, so at a Cubs game on Sunday.
Oh, where I will be this weekend.
That fat ass Chris Christie was there.
Oh, and this was at a Brewers. The Brewers were playing.
Yeah,
the Cubs.
Like someone heckled him.
Yeah.
So according to the fan, he heckled the governor as he walked by, but he was already like past him, like 30 feet away, and he yelled his name and told him that he sucked and called him a hypocrite.
Yeah.
And this guy, Brad Johnson's like, it needed to be said.
Oh, former Tampa Bay and Washington Redskins quarterback, Brad Johnson.
I don't know. Brad Joseph. Brad Joseph. Christie reportedly turned around, returned to confront him, got in his face and delivered the epic burn. You're a big shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, not as big as you, you fat ass. You take up a lot of room.
This Chris Christie.
And you do suck.
He's kind of interesting because he's such a cunt.
Really?
And yet he doesn't realize it. Like
no.
He thinks he's real cool.
Yes.
And so he's so fat and disgusting.
Yes. And just corrupt and dirty
and an asshole. Like he's an asshole.
And just all the worst traits of a person.
Yeah.
Physically and character-wise.
Governor of Ed's home state of New Jersey. Okay, Kate, what else?
I just thought that was
funny. I bet he could put away a hoagie, that Chris Christie.
Well, he might want to get on that Jared Subway diet.
Right.
If he's going to eat hoagies.
Just young children left and right. All you consume.
Jen Garner, Ben Affleck, finally getting that divorce.
Jen Garner, where am I at on her? She's so basic.
She's got a very pretty face.
She is. Like when she, when they clean her up and like make her sexy,
she's hot.
Pretty hot.
She's
like she's
hot.
Got nice full lips.
Yeah, she's a very attractive woman.
Nice body. She's like the right, she's the age
but
I'm into.
There's like, no, on a day-to-day basis when she's not styled and she's just putting on some clothes to take the kids to school or even like going out to dinner. There's no bigger dag in Hollywood.
Bangs.
Like I'm talking natural spirit.
Yes.
Where.
Yeah.
And just like
natural, easy spirit.
Whatever.
Yes.
And like just bad.
Looks like a pump. Feels like a sneaker. Looks like a
orthopedic.
Feels like a sneaker.
Bad Gap jeans. Like bad, like not
like
sexy.
The 90s. Yeah. She's and rich like, as fuck. She lives in Brentwood.
Twin set. I don't know. She's just got this whole, just such a dag.
She's got that Capital One campaign. She is stacking chips.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't feel.
I'm always shocked when I see people like her or like someone like Kaylee Cuoco, who's on that Big Bang Theory, who's pulling in gajillions of dollars
she's
every
really
year.
Rich, yeah.
Doing like she does those Priceline commercials now, and I'm like
how much money? Do
I
you
mean,
need?
What? How much
how
do
much
you
money
need?
Do you need?
Yeah, it's crazy. Jen, so anyway,
Jen
back to
Garner would need the money more. Like she's not in things as
no,
much
that's
as
true.
This. Kaylee Cuoco's got a fucking sitcom.
Anyway, she was Jen was spotted out for a walk Tuesday with Ben Affleck's mother, her soon to be ex mother-in-law, who apparently, you know, they do stuff together.
This happens. Like people get divorced, and the ex keeps the husband's family for some reason.
But that is so weird.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, you've got your own family,
right?
And like. I feel like the mother-in-law can see the kids when they're with her, the mother's child.
Looks like a pump, feels like a sneaker, looks like a pump. Who will Jen Garner date next? Will it be, I picture her it being someone with glasses. I could picture it being like J.J. Abrams because he's married. But I feel like not like a real handsome, like.
I think she'll do
like
the
man type.
What's her name? Hillary Swank moved on to her
go
agent.
Lesbian. Go lesbian.
No, she. She's. I think she married her agent. Oh. And Reese Witherspoon
also married an agent.
Married her agent. Yeah. I feel like it'll be like
interesting.
Executive or an agent.
Industry person.
I think so,
but not in front of the camera.
That would be my. Would be my guess.
Mm. Interesting. Okay. What else, Kate? Is that it?
Lastly.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of coming around to this. Michael Moore, the documentarian.
Yeah.
Says that he thinks the Democrats should turn to Hollywood for their next presidential candidate.
Well, that is a good idea.
And his pick, he thinks
George Clooney.
Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson would be perfect.
Yeah. The Rock.
He's like, run The Rock. Who do you want for commander in chief? I want the fucking Rock.
No,
it would scare anybody that would hurt us.
The Rock.
It's kind of true.
The Rock.
Think how safe we would feel if The Rock were president.
First of all, there's no one that doesn't like The Rock. That's, he's the fucking best dude.
He really is.
He's a great guy. Big smile.
Yes.
Nice to everyone.
Is on probably the sickest TV show since Entourage, Ballers.
He's on Ballers, which is
he's really good
show.
On it, but that show.
It's a great show. Dude. It's a great show if you like things that are terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he should do it. He should wear the suits he wears on Entourage or Ballers. Because like one time Obama wore like a tan suit and people fucking lost their shit. They're like, this fucking guy, this black guy wearing a tan suit.
Right.
And now this Donald Trump, he wears the like right color suit. He wears a blue suit, but he wears a fucking like 47-foot-long tie that hangs down past
also,
his belt.
Also, his suits are baggy
he
and
looks
badly
like shit.
Fitting because but this is fat.
Spencer Strassmore, he wears like 3-piece suits that are like
Spencer Strassmore is his character on Ballers
that are like fucking like pink checked or houndstooth or like fucking rose plaid 3-piece tweed suits, and the guy looks so fucking good.
And I'm thinking if America is willing to elect a 2-bit TV
host. Yeah, he's
I'm not
an
even
outsider.
Gonna call him a star.
He's an outsider.
Like, how? Where would we go with a box office beast?
He's a maverick.
Like,
he's not beholden to anyone.
The Rock, who's just nice.
Yeah,
and
I'm with it.
strong and
rock for president.
Yeah, big muscles.
Yeah, totally with it.
I'm with you, Michael Moore. Yeah, let's run the rock.
Yeah, I'm into that.
I got to be honest, it's a really slow, boring week in pop culture.
Oh, that's okay. I've been talking for a long fucking time. Okay, that's going to do it. Thank you, Ed Daly, for chiming in from London, England, from a jazz club. Is that gay code, by the way? Oh, I popped into jazz night at the pub. Oh, you mean you were manning glory hole number 3?
Stop.
Is that what you're saying? Is that your wide stance in it somewhere? Okay. Kate McManus, excellent job. Brian Beckner, great job. For all of those people, this has been episode 180 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. We will see you next week.
Bye, everyone.
We'll be right back.